Father, we have come before thee, and this evening, as we have assembled together on a weekday, middle of this week, thou hast blessed us with this opportunity. And Lord, as we have come and sat down and opened with the hymn, we have read of thy grace and who thou art, Lord, and as we have sang the hymn, and now as we open thy word, we pray, O Lord, that thou would still our hearts from the day, the busyness and the stresses that we get caught up in this life, and that thou would calm our hearts and open our eyes to the eternal truths that are before us, that we would, Lord, look into thy holy will for our life, and that we would attentively listen to what thy Spirit will say. So abide thou with us and bless our coming together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was, with God's help, a desire that we would turn and read from the prophet Jonah, chapter number 3. Chapter 3 of the prophet Jonah. Ljubavno želim kroz Božju pomoć da pročitamo iz proroka Jona, knjiga Jonova, treća glava. Chapter 3 of Jonah starts and says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the book of Jonah is a very short book of 4 chapters, and in there we have a very vivid story of what had taken place when a prophet of God was sent to preach to a city that was an enemy of Israel. The Assyrians was a nation that was extremely powerful, mighty, large. They were the fear of the world. They would go and they would take cities over at will. And so they were a feared nation. And in this nation of the Assyrians was a city called Nineveh. And Jonah was asked to go to preach to that city. And dear ones, when we read stories in the scriptures, we don't often make connections to today. And that's really what scripture is intended for, that we would learn something from it, from that which has been spoken or that which has taken place in the past, and then recorded for us so that we could learn from it. Jonah, we have to remember who he was. And he was being sent by God to speak on his behalf. And so what do we have to do with that? Well, we are the church. And we are to speak on God's behalf. Nineveh is a nation that is great, but it is utterly lost and destined for judgment. And Jonah was told to go preach. Well, Jonah knows that God is a God who forgives. And so if he were to preach to this city, and perchance this city would repent, God wouldn't destroy them. He wouldn't overthrow them. And if he doesn't overthrow them, in Jonah's eyes, he's looking at this as a... He knows that even his own nation, Israel, was full of idolatry and sin. He knew that. And he knows that God used other nations to bring his judgments upon them. So he probably thought, well, let's get rid of this nation. Let's get rid of this city of Nineveh. And he refused. And we know the story, what happened. And oftentimes we focus the story on the fish. It's all about the fish, and really it's nothing about the fish. The story is about what God had intended to do, and he intended to do it through a man who was his own. And this man did not know him. This man didn't really know God. And so God was going to use this to show him who he is and to bring him into a saving knowledge. And dear ones, in our lives, we have to know that everything that happens to us, the circumstances that are around us, everything is meant, Paul says, everything is meant to bring us closer to our God so we may know him. And we can't do that by disobeying him. We do that through our obedience. Well, Jonah here has refused to go, and the word now comes back to him again after Jonah is found saved from the fish. The Lord tells him again, go. The message didn't change. God didn't, because of Jonah's unwillingness to do what he had set out to do, God didn't change his course. He simply came back to Jonah and said, now go to this city. And the city, it says it's a 3 days journey, so it takes 3 days to walk from one end to the other. And he's 1 day into this city, and the message that he gives is a message of judgment. We read the prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and we read so much that is written, so much that was told to them. Jonah, we have was given 8 words to utter. That's it. And they're recorded right here for us. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's the message that he is to give. There's no Calvary to point to. There's no sprinkling of blood. There's no hope here. There's no one that has taken their sins, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He's not spoken of here. It just speaks of judgment. In 40 days, this city will be overthrown. How will it be overthrown? Will it be the earth will open up and swallow it up? It could. Will it be a storm? It could. Will it be another nation to rise up against them? It doesn't tell us. And that fear that struck into the hearts of this city and of these people of this city, and they feared greatly. In 40 days, they will be destroyed. The countdown started. It's going to go 39, 38, and we know how quickly time passes. Before we know it, it's over. 40 days, it's all they're given. Jerusalem was given 40 years after Calvary. Am I given 40 years? Are you given 40 years? Or 40 days? Or one day? But judgment, my dear friend, outside of Christ, and for us, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, who have known sin living within us, submissive to Satan, the devil, obeying him, following him. Nineveh's given 40 days. How many days are we given? And it says you will be overthrown. The city will be overthrown. And it says the people believed God. They believed what Jonah was saying. And they immediately proclaimed a fast. Why did they proclaim a fast? They put on sackcloth from the greatest even to the least of them. There's no more greatness in this city. There's no more hierarchy. There's no more princesses and kings and mayors and presidents. And there's a word came from God, and it says, I will overthrow this city because of your evil. And from the greatest of them to the least of them to the beggars, doesn't matter who you are, you have been judged. The God of justice has spoken. He will overthrow the city in 40 days. And so they put on sackcloth. The word got to the king. He arises from his throne. There's no sitting on no thrones anymore. He takes off his kingly apparel that he felt so good in, so high above everyone else. He's now before the judgments of God. And he covers himself with sackcloth, and the king, the mighty king, sits in ashes. And he makes a decree. And he says, let man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Let them cry unto God. Why? Why is he going to cry unto God? He was told, you will be destroyed in 40 days. Now, if this said in 40 years, would it have brought the same response? If this said tomorrow, we have to think, our God is a God of justice, a God who is just. And he doesn't look at the great that are sitting on their thrones, on their man-made thrones, and he doesn't look at the beggars of where their stature is in life. He looks at the evil that is in their hand. He looks at the evil that is in their heart. He looks at them as those who are turning their noses up to him. It doesn't matter from what walk of life they are from. They've turned their nose up to him. They look at themselves as greater than him. And don't we do that? We'll say, absolutely not. We would say, here's Jonah, a prophet. He rolls up his scrawny little fist and he turns against God. We're going to say, well, no, he didn't. Yes, he smote God. He hit him. You could say that. Just like they did, just like they smote Christ on the cross. Man turned against God. Jonah turned against God. He refused to listen to him. When we disobey him, we're doing the same thing Jonah did. We can't look at Jonah and say, well, how could he have not listened? God told him, go. Well, go. Well, God tells us many things. Do we slap him? No, that's a little bit harsh. We don't look at him as kingly, as priestly. We don't look at him as we ought when we disobey him. We think we have 40 years. Jerusalem had 40 years. Where did it bring them? The king said, who can tell? Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Who can tell? Jonah didn't tell us you can't repent. Jonah didn't tell us. He didn't give us any hope. But he didn't take it away from us either. Who can tell if God will turn away from that which he has placed his judgment upon us because of the evil that is in our hands? He knew that what he was doing was wrong. The king did. He knew how he led that city and that nation, that it was not according to God's purposes. He knew that. Why did he know? He knew it as soon as judgment was brought down against him and his city. He knew exactly what was wrong with his life. Do we not recognize what is wrong with our lives? Why? Do we feel that there is no judgment? What does Jesus say? Jesus' words are, where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. That's the judgment he's speaking of. He doesn't tell us in 40 days. He doesn't give us that luxury, if we could call it that, of knowing when it will be. It's not a luxury at all. If it would have been, God would have given it to us. No, we don't know. And so because of that, man's heart, does not believe in the judgment enough to repent. The king did. The king believed. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? God looked down upon this city and he says, it was an exceeding great city with, it says, 120,000 thousand children who didn't know their left from their right. He looked upon the city, knew everything about it. He knew every wayward thought. He knew what was the evil that was in their hearts, the lust. He knew the everything that was driving them every day. And so, it's no different today. He looks upon the cities of the world, the nations, but more than that, he looks into every heart. He knows every wayward thought. Why, brothers and sisters, would I think that my wayward thought can be excused by God? But Nineveh's couldn't be. Why? Because of Jesus. Well, Jesus came to give me a new life. Jesus came to cleanse me and to give me a new direction, a new way of life. And so I do have hope. And that hope is found in Jesus. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. At the end of the chapter, at the end of the book, God says, Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Even the cattle are mentioned. Aren't they his? The cattle in the thousand hills? He knows every cattle. He knows every sparrow. Let's go smaller than the cattle. He knows every sparrow. Should not I spare Nineveh? A city that repented? Jonah wouldn't have. Jonah wouldn't have. You know, man sometimes thinks that our mercies are greater than God's. We sometimes feel that we would have greater mercy. We would forgive and overlook. You know who says that? The man who lives in evil and wants to continue that way. Jonah had no intention of sparing Nineveh. He was quite angry. This is a man of God. Brothers and sisters, where are our hearts for the lost? Is there anyone that we write off? God didn't write off an entire city of, it's estimated, of 1 million people. I don't know. It doesn't matter if it's 1 million. It doesn't matter. It says here there were 60,000, 120,000 of those who couldn't discern between their right and their left hands. Do we know who our God is? We read in Ezekiel. It says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. That wasn't the heart of Jonah. That's the heart of God. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. The king asked the question, who can tell if God will turn and repent? God says, should not I spare Nineveh? The king recognized that God can forgive. God says, Wouldn't I forgive? Shouldn't I forgive someone who had turned? And we read in the prophet Hosea, he says, here's the thoughts of God. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? He says, I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. We see man at work, and we see God at work in Jonah. And he says, I am not man, I am God, the Holy One in the midst of thee. He says, they shall walk after the Lord. And it says, and they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt. And I will place them in their houses. This is our God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? God has judgment placed upon every soul who has turned their nose to him. He looks upon this world. He knows every thought. He knows all the thoughts. He knows everything that is going and taking place in every heart, every thought. We read that every idle word we will give answers for. Does that mean, are we going to say, well, that can't mean what it implies? Do we think that because we come to church every Sunday that we will have greater mercy? Was Jonah? If Jonah refused to go into the city, would he have received mercy? No, God moved in him and showed him who he was. In the end, he showed him that he was full of mercy and compassion, and his heart is not like the heart of man. Today we have Jesus to look to. We know that he has taken our sins, and we know that if we turn from our evil ways, that Jesus will give us, create in us a new heart, and he will forgive us, and he will turn his anger away from us. Brothers and sisters and my dear friends, what would we do if we didn't have Jesus? We have hope. We have direction. We have life. And we have a God who is love, who is mercy, and who is calling us. The brother prayed that we would see God's grace and mercy, that we would know it. We can't know that. We can't know him if we live in our own will. God has, there is no place on this earth that is too dark for his light. There is no place on earth that is too mighty for his power. There's nothing in his creation that limits him. Nothing. But there's the heart of man, his will, my will, and that he has given to us so that we would be able to freely choose where we will be in eternity. We cannot say, none of us sitting here today will have the excuse, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know that you were so fierce. I didn't know that the judgment was so fierce. I didn't know. No one here will be able to say that. But he gave us a will. You choose, and I choose, where we will spend eternity. The king chose, and the entire city chose to repent. There was nothing. Think about what this city was doing. All the evil that they were doing, that God looked upon that city and said, I will overthrow it. But there was nothing that that city, the heart of that, the men that were in that city, they were doing that they were not suddenly willing to give up. Nothing was worth the judgment that was coming. Nothing was worth the judgment that was coming upon them. Sackcloth, put it on. Ashes, let me sit in it. Lord, who can tell if God will repent and forgive me? There's nothing too great that the Lord can't forgive for those who repent. And yet we see here that when man was facing imminent doom, there was nothing that they wanted to hold on to. The palaces, the kingly robes, the thrones, the wealth, the pleasures, the lusts, the fulfillment of anything your eye would want to see and indulge in, that felt so good for that moment that you can hardly wait to do it again. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. An entire city repented. We know that this city eventually was overthrown, I think about 100 years later. They returned back to their evil ways, and they were overthrown. But this generation here was spared. Should not I spare Nineveh? He looks upon us today. When he sees a heart that is turning to him, Jesus says, I will in no wise cast out. Should I not spare? I will not cast away those who come to me. I will empower them. I will cleanse them. I will give them hope. I will give them life. Judgment that is upon them, I will repent of. So God repented of the judgment that he had placed upon Nineveh. God has repented of the judgment that he has placed upon me and you, my brother and my sister. But it's also up to me and up to you. My will, your will, is it going to be to live in continual love towards my God and submission unto him so that I do not live, but that Christ would live in me? And when we live in that manner, dear ones, our lives are directed. Our lives are actually given purpose. And we don't look down on anyone. We don't snobbishly disregard someone. There's no corner that is too dark for Jesus to lighten. But he put me as a light and he put you as lights to light up the world, to show Jesus Christ. So no one would look at me and say, I want nothing to do with him. He is evil. He is so money hungry. He is so this. He is so that. He's so lewd. For someone to say that about the lights that are to darken the world. No, but we have hope in Christ. And God says, should not I repent and forgive Nineveh, that great city, who repented of their evil ways? So, dear ones, we have to look to Christ. And in doing so, we have to empty ourselves of self. That city was extremely selfish. They thought about themselves. That's why they were judged. It was all about them. But they learned to be selfless. As our Lord was selfless and gave himself for us, so we ought to also do that one for another. Am I going to be judged? Last Sunday, I think it was, we just read about that love is a fulfillment of the law, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Am I guilty of not doing that? Because if I'm guilty of that, then I haven't fulfilled the law, and I am in judgment. I am judged. And so when I read that, am I supposed to just read that and say, okay, we read that last Sunday, and yeah, just something that I need to strive for, just something I need to polish up my Christian walk and just try to be a little bit better and so on? Or is it something I look at and I say, do I really have that love? Jonah didn't, but Jonah was brought to that. What more do we need to bring to be brought to than the living word of God that we have before us? Do I need to have a thunderbolt strike? Do I need to have anything to happen for me to now see? No, I have the word of God. That's not enough. Nothing will be enough then. Nothing will be enough. If the words of Christ mean nothing to me, I will die in my sins. And Jesus says, it's the place that the fire is not quenched. I don't know what that place is. None of us do. And none of us ever want to know what is there. And what those words of Christ mean when he describes hell, I have no idea what it is. But I know it's a place, he calls it a place of torment. We don't want to be there. So Jesus has given us his way to escape that. Nineveh escaped. Will we? By God's grace and by our submission unto him, we will. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
The Old Testament has a lot of stories, a lot of prophecies, a lot of examples for us to learn from and understand. And Jonah was no exception. We can learn many things from him as well. And I like the way the Apostle Paul put it when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that standeth, or thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Amen.